Welcome to Monster Chats, presented by Monster VoIP, where we share the tools, methods, and best practices that business leaders use to build new connections, strengthen relationships, and impact sales and organizations of all shapes and sizes. If you have any questions that come up during today's episode, please text them to 424-378-6966. Please welcome the founder of Monster VoIP, your host, Colin Mitchell.
On today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Dino. Dino is the founder of D Branding. My name is Colin Mitchell. I'm the host of Monster Chats and the founder of Monster VoIP. Dino, welcome to Monster Chats. How are you?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
Yeah, we connected on LinkedIn and had a quick little Zoom call and kind of hit it off. And I wanted to invite you on the show. So I'm definitely interested in learning more about your story. So tell folks, like, where did you grow up? How did you decide to be an entrepreneur? And kind of what's your career path been?
So I was born in Israel. And from a very early age, I was like this rocker, punk rocker, you know, very couldn't stay in one place in one time. And I had a band, and from a very early age, from my teens, I understood how the marketing and PR beast works. Because I had a band, so, you know, they were writing, and I knew magazine editors and writers. And from a very, very, very too early age, I spent most of my life at night instead of, you know, going, you know, when you're a kid, you have tons of energy, so you can go to school, ditch school after you go there, of course, but then again, you know, hang out with very much older people at night. I was, 14, 15, 16. My friends were 23, 21 and all that, sitting in bars and this whole bohemian life. So I learned a lot about that, started doing PR in a very, very early age. I was pretty good at that. And I worked with Levi's, and from there I continued and I did merchandising and licensing for MTV Europe. About 18, I started to visit London, England, as much as I can. So my life were, you know, from the culture of England to the craziness of Israel. And
with your punk rock attitude, right?
Yeah, which is really weird in Israel, you know.
It
works really well in England, but then you come back to Israel, which is the most non-rock and roll place ever.
But, yeah, did you feel kind of out of place there?
Yeah. Since I was born, I was like, hey, what am I doing here? I always felt a fish out of the water.
Yeah.
And it continued grow and grow. And I always feel some kind of a misfit.
Yeah.
Even today, what usually happens is that the crazy people think that I'm too smart. Like those who live in the streets and those crazy punks and junkies and all that. For them, I'm like, I'm not as far gone as they are. Yeah. And on the other hand, the regular Joes think that I'm super crazy. So I always feel misfit. That's why I have a Misfit for Life tattoo.
Nice.
That I did 4 years ago when I was like, listen, it's still, I'm in my 40s and it's still there. And in a way, I think that that's why, you know, that's a plus and minus with me. You either like me or not. Usually you don't like me, but then you learn to know me and understand that it's much deeper.
Was the tattoo kind of like a way of like solidifying just like owning that like,
yeah,
kind of making peace with like, that's who you are and you're okay with that?
Exactly. Exactly. Because I thought it's a teenage thing, and it continued. And I lived and worked in three continents, but it was still there, no matter what kind of life I had. And I had a very crazy life. Most of my life were at night. On the other hand, once I changed my life, I started, you know, being a morning person and very work driven. And I worked with big companies, big CEOs. I managed teams. I was a CEO. I had my own businesses, all of that. You know, I lost money. I made tons of money. But this Misfits thing, this kind of semi not belonging feeling was always there. So just like you said, a few years ago, I was like, let's just stamp it. That's who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you made more peace with that since then?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I made peace with who I am a few good years ago. And it's something that I encourage everyone to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that when a lot of times, you know, and I've gone through some transitions myself, right? It's when you do some of that personal work, you just become more comfortable with who you are and being your authentic self. And, you know, you're no longer playing the tape or being who you think people want you to be. You can excel in so many ways, and there's so much transformation that happens both personally and professionally. You know, a lot of times people are stuck professionally because there's personal work that needs to be done.
Definitely, definitely. The personal life and your business life, they totally engage one another. And if you want good life, you have to have good business life, and vice versa. You can't have good business life if your life sucks, or if you don't like yourself, or if you think that you're not good enough. And it's hard. Most of us think we're not good enough, or why should I be successful? Stuff like that. This is, and I gotta say that during COVID, one of the things that I've done is take this time that now all of us have more time and invested in self-search and self-clarity about who I am, who I want to be. All those things really help with the journey. That's one thing. Second thing, my girlfriend and I broke up during lockdown, which is crazy. And part of my search was to learn from my ex and probably the way that she looks at me. Because when you look at yourself from other people's point of view, people who know you, it really helps you.
Yeah.
See that maybe you were lying to yourself about this or about that. Mm-hmm. So, and start write down stuff and.
Oh yeah. I mean, self-awareness is huge. And sometimes there's things that people see that you don't see. And I know from experience, it's so important to have people around you that are willing to be honest with you and feel that they can approach you with feedback or areas that maybe you're falling short or could improve on.
Definitely.
Because, you know, and it also in business as well, right? Your customers, your clients, your prospects, you know, being able to be approachable by them where, hey, you could maybe do better in this, or this is not really working for me, or, and being, you know, willing to adapt based on that feedback as well.
Definitely. I am a huge believer that you shouldn't work with anyone.
Yeah.
And if you see that the relationship with your clients is not really a good relationship because it doesn't affect you the way that it would. For instance, you feel that they don't let you help them or deliver, or you see that something is, if it's not like a good flowing river,
Yeah.
You should get out of this river.
Yeah. And there's usually signs in the beginning. And yeah. It's just being mindful and being aware of those. Because I've made the mistake many times of, you know, working with people or doing business with people where it's like there was reservations in the beginning, but sometimes it's just hard to say no to money, right? And then you end up kicking yourself because you're like, was the money really worth it? And usually the answer is no.
No. And this is something that I've learned. And so when I was in my late 20s, after great life in my teens and 20s, and, you know, I've done tons of stuff and learned a lot, things started just going really, really, really bad, really down. Nothing helped. Nothing worked. All my clients were just bad clients. There was no nothing, and it started taking me down. I fell to a very, very deep depression. I worked with the wrong people. I got in such a huge debt that just because my clients were so bad, they didn't pay me, and it was a disaster. And when I started getting out of that and reinventing myself, or actually not reinventing myself, finding myself again and building the career that I have right now, and I'm very happy with, and a lot of it is because I do work with the right people and I do charge the right amount of money. So when I give someone a proposal, I have about, well, whatever it is, it's a percentage that I call headache fees. Because when we start working together, if I see that, okay, it's good, but there will be, because that's the kind of personality, you really need to understand the personality of your prospect. Mm-hmm. There will be headaches. There will be times when I will say that the strategy should be X, and they will say, I'm the CEO. No, it should be Y. And then I will need to find a way to get him to X because Y is wrong. So when there's so much headache and things are not working, you say, why am I even doing that? I'm not even making good money out of it. And it's not, if you start doing that, you will continue to get bad clients, not charge enough. And you see it a lot with many creative people. They just want to have the work. They just want to close the deal to have another, I don't know, web design or whatever. And I've done it many times.
Well, I think it comes down to like a lot of people just undervaluing themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Which is a clear indicator that, okay, maybe there's some personal work that needs to be done to properly value whatever it is that I provide and charge an appropriate price for that.
If you think that, if you know the value that you bring, and you know that you actually bring value that is more than the hourly rate that you charge or your retainer, the return on investment, investing in you and your services, is higher, then that's how much you should charge. If you know that with 1 hour, you can unstuck your client and now they will make so much more money, so that's how much you should charge. And I have another tip for people that, you know, like mainly the newcomers, the amount of time that you invest in getting your prospect to be your client is pretty much the, no matter how much they're going to pay, it's the same amount of money. So it will take you pretty much the same amount of time to get a client that will pay you $80 per hour and the client that will pay you $180 per hour.
Right, right.
So, you know,
That's why there's a lot of people that are like, okay, it's more quality over quantity, right? The right people, right?
I'm like that. I don't like, I have my deep branding's doing lots of marketing campaigns and social media and SEO and all that. But myself, I like to be a consultant. I like to get paid to think and come with solutions. And I like to have just a few clients. Mm-hmm. So I get to know them so well. I get to know the team so well. Everyone, I know them, they know me. So it's like, so the work is so much more profitable for them because I don't need to run after clients.
Yeah.
So it works great for everyone.
Right. Yeah. It's more of a relationship at that point.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't feel like work as much. Right. So tell me a little bit. Okay. So that low point where you kind of, weren't really picking the right clients, where, clients weren't paying, like, how did you come out of that and what lessons did you learn?
So I was very much anti everything that's spiritual in a way. But I got to such a low point and I started watching movies about quantum physics and neuroscience, which is something that I really, really like. And I started understanding that, okay, life is different than what I think, and why don't we give it a try? And then I started to change, the card in my head, and my life changed immediately. Immediately.
What are some of the practical things that you started doing that helped?
Well, I watched What the Bleep. That's a great quantum physics movie. And then I watched The Secret. And then I read Think and Grow Rich, like so many others. Yeah. But the idea is to actually do it. The idea is to actually write specific goals for yourself and say, okay, I can have shitty life, but I can have great life. I mean, there's possibilities are endless. So let's focus on the great life. What is that specific life that I want? And let's go and get them. And I did. I had a full page of goals that I want to achieve. And this whole page was done. It took time and effort. Lots of effort and a lot of self-work. And I can tell you that after a few years, when it was all done, I had like a year of, whoa, and things started getting down again because, wait a minute, I got everything that I wanted, so what am I supposed to do now? And I just starting, going back to a not such a good place. And I understood that, okay, you will always have goals. You will always have a life that you want. So just start a new list.
Right.
And I had to think about this list and goals for a few good months. But then I did it again. That's how I decided to focus myself on consulting and mentoring. When marketing campaigns, as much as I love it and as much as I love branding, and I've done it for so many years, it wasn't like, that's not my call.
Sounds like it wasn't as fulfilling for you.
Right. And I was sitting in London, I was thinking, April 3 years ago, 10 a.m. in the morning at the pub. Yeah, it's England, so you drink at 10 a.m. And I was sitting with my best friend, and he was like, but you're doing marketing. That's what you've been doing for 20 something years. You're amazing at branding. It's in your blood. Why are you not happy? And then I was like, I felt that that's not really that, you know. Okay, I'm executing on marketing campaigns, creating identity and all that for corporations. That's great, but I need something deeper. And then I saw and I felt that my calling is to help as many people cure their perception about branding. Because the biggest problem is that most people don't know what branding is. They think they do, but they don't. And when you don't know that, you execute on a paradigm that is wrong, your execution is wrong. So you don't get the rewards. That's why your marketing campaigns don't work. That's why you don't have ROI. That's why you get frustrated because you put money on something and it doesn't bring any sales. So I knew that I can do that only by doing one-on-one and by doing podcasts like this and writing on magazine. And that's what I do now. And I love that because I know that I change people's perception and now they can think totally different and they see the results. Like they see the results.
Right. Right. So that's much more rewarding.
Much more rewarding. And it's, there's, when you know why you wake up in the morning, you will wake up before the alarm clock.
So what, tell me what's on the goal sheet right now that hasn't been checked off yet?
Well, I had to do, to redo it again. Because last year it was all done and then COVID happened and things changed.
Right.
So, there's a specific financial goal that I want to have this year.
Yeah.
And other goals are mainly, you know, for the mind and places I want to be. One of my goals, for instance, was to drive cattle, like doing the whole cowboy thing, like real cowboy thing for you riding horses, you sort the cattle, you drive them hundreds and hundreds of miles. And I did that. And this was huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all of those things.
It's a big achievement for a punk rocker from Israel.
yeah. I'll tell you something huge. When I was in Israel, and after that, I've been in England. And when I was in England, that was the world recession. And London is one of the biggest business points, centers in the world. And back then, when there was no money, it was very, very sad. I went there with a huge debt and got back with even deeper debt. But over there, I taught myself a lot of things in art and design and web design and graphic design. I just sat there because it's so cold, so you're just sitting at home all day and draw, and I taught myself Illustrator and stuff like that. And when I came here, I had such a huge debt. And one of my goals, like my top goal, was to be able to close this debt that I actually didn't think I will ever be able to close. Because so many clients owed me so much money. But my goal was to call the bank manager and tell him, hey man, here's all your money, close my account. Because you know, bankers don't like to close your account. Bankers want you to be in debt. And I did it. And I did it in 9 months, less than 9 months.
Wow.
And I actually called the bank manager and told them to F himself and close the account.
That was very punk rock of you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Before I let you go, tell people where they can find you online and connect with you, and if they have any questions or anything like that.
Awesome. So first of all, you can all find me on LinkedIn, Dino H. Carter. If not, DinoHCarter.com or DBrandingLA.com. And on DBrandingLA.com, you can find lots of free resources and worksheets that will help you with your marketing and branding. They can always just email me at dino@dbrandingla.com. Ask me any questions and just say hi.
Awesome. Thank you, Dino. Welcome to the Monster Chats community. If you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, and we're listening for your feedback. The show is all about you.
Thank you for tuning in for another episode of Monster Chats, presented by Monster VoIP, where we share the tools, methods, and best practices that business leaders use to build new connections, strengthen relationships, and impact sales in organizations of all shapes and sizes. If you have any questions from today's show and want to reach us directly, please text your question to 424-378-6966.